You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras. Today we're going to talk about discerning or listening for God's voice. I've got some suggestions, but of course, I'm clearly never going to figure out God. You know what? I don't want to figure out God. If I can figure him out, then I don't want him to be my God. I want him to be bigger and brighter and more beautiful and more intelligent and all those things than me. I don't ever want him to be less than mystery. So we're going to talk a little bit about discerning or listening for God's voice in our life. This has been coming up a lot with questions I've been getting on Facebook. You know, you can always send me an instant message anytime on Facebook. I'm pretty much connected to it 24/7. So you could send me a message through A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on Facebook, or through my ministry, easy for me to say, through my ministry, Reconciled to You, on Facebook, or through reconciledtoyou.com. There's links there too. So you can pretty much get me anywhere, even on Twitter or Pinterest or Instagram. So it's all at Reconciled to You. That's a D there. So Reconciled with a D, T-O-Y-O-U. So this has been coming up a lot with people asking me, like, how do I hear God's voice? How do you hear God's voice? If you ever listened to me talk live in one of my retreats, it sounds like God and I are like just best buds. We talk 24/7. Again, not going to figure him out. I don't know all the answers, but here's some of the ways that I have been really blessed to feel like I'm talking with God. I mean, I know he's not going to disappear on me. He's not going to create me and tell me to seek and I will find, knock and the door will be answered, opened, ask and I will receive. He's not going to tell me these things in his word and then disappear on me. It's just a matter of patience and prayer and realizing again that God's ways are not our ways. Isaiah 55, God's ways are higher than our ways. So where we may hear him and get direction, we may not completely understand everything being said. So we're going to talk today about prayer, about scripture, spiritual directors, adoration. Where else can we hear signs and wonders, God-sidences, and those the main ways, and liturgy. And those are the main ways that I hear God. Let's back up and start with prayer. Like, that seems to be the most common sense way, but I gotta be honest, it's the place I least start. I forget all the time to start with prayer. Prayer is communication with God. It's this giving and taking, this opening our hearts to hear what God has to say, which means we need to quiet ourselves. Like, we can't hear if we're talking. If you remember landlines, some of us still use those. The problem with phone communication is when one person is talking, the communication from the other line is actually closed off. If you've listened to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras for a long time, you've seen me have phone conversation interviews with guests, and it's been sometimes a train wreck because I can't hear them or they can't hear me. If I'm talking, the communication gets blocked. And so we want to be really careful not to do that with God. And that requires us to be quiet, not constantly talking and asking and begging, in my case, for God to answer, but to actually quiet our minds and our hearts. Well, how do we do that? That's a good question. Sometimes I do it by just saying Jesus's name over and over again, just really concentrating on his face, his name. You can put a crucifix in front of you, you can put an image of Jesus, or you can just do what I do, which is close my eyes and try to picture Jesus and just say his name over and over again. And then I find that myself, that I do get quieted. I do come to a place where I can hear God speak. And again, sometimes I get what God is saying and it seems crystal clear. And other times I think I know what God is saying. And one of the things I learned in this last month of May, where I was going through so much trial with my hands, my eczema, the the false mammogram reading, which was so frightening, and the inflamed lymph node and waiting for the results and all of that stuff. The one thing I did learn during all that is that the one thing I can count on God for when I'm hearing his voice clearly is peace. I can't always discern that the answer is going to be what I want, or God is saying, you know, one thing, because he could be answering a million prayers at once. But I can be sure that when I'm hearing God correctly, I'm going to have peace. There's going to be a part of me that it can trust and relax, or at least have some hope and know that whatever the outcome, God has got me. And I know it's going to be what God wills, and therefore it's going to be for my good, because God can only will good. And that's kind of hard sometimes, because we want the good to be, no sickness, no strife, you know, lots of money in our bank account, children who do everything we ask, a boss that's easy to work with. Excuse me. This is what we, you know, look for when we're, at least I do. Maybe you're better than I am, but I'm always asking God for the good I want, this good that has no bumps in the road at all, no diversions from just a perfectly straight path of honey and roses and butterflies and all good stuff. And it is still good stuff. Even the tough stuff is good stuff, because it grows us. I can't tell you what this month has been like for me. Probably the most fruitful spiritual month of my life, really, truly, in this time of trial. It's been an amazing time of growing to learn more about who God is and who he is to me and in my life and what he calls me to be. And who he calls me to be. You know, I met my spiritual director yesterday, and I was telling Deacon Jerry about all the stuff that was happening and all the places I feel God is preparing me and calling me. And he's like, at the ultimate, though, God has called you to be somebody, and that's his beloved daughter. And he's going to work all things to create you to be the best you can be, the best person, the best version of yourself. And that version is the one that trusts in him, loves him, is open to do his will, to care for others, to be Christ in the world. And it may not be a whole lot of doing, but it is going to be being again, who he's called you to be. So the first place we need to start if we want to hear God's voice is in prayer. It's making time somewhere, somehow, to be quiet. You know, for some people, it might be you need to leave the house. And it, you know, go to adoration, go to a quiet church, go to the beach. Even, you know, sometimes I love just walking around cemeteries. I feel like I'm covered, surrounded there by these holy souls, and to pray for them, and then them to ask them to pray for me as I try to hear what God is saying. I love to go to adoration. Gonna talk a little bit about that in a minute. But sometimes, like, I can't get out. I got to find a place quiet in my house. And I might just excuse myself and go to a quiet corner or chair, or I have a window seat, and just put myself there. It doesn't have to be for hours on end. It can be just for 5 minutes. And it gives you just a little time with God. And he will bless that time. 5 minutes, 15, 30, an hour, whatever you have to give, God's going to bless. And you'll be amazed, the more often you seek him out, the more time you find to spend with him. And so you have that conversation beginning, that two-way conversation where you're listening and he's speaking, and you start to hear his voice. Well, here's another thing that we need to work on when it comes to hearing God's voice is how do we actually hear his voice? We have to learn what it sounds like. And for me, and I think for everyone, I mean, there's a reason that we're given God's word in the scriptures. And I never heard God's voice in my life because I never listened to the scriptures. I never opened a Bible in my life. And even though I went to Mass each week, and I have recently learned, you know, about 10 years ago, that the scriptures are what we read in Mass. Yes, I did not know that. Don't ask me why I didn't know that. I totally should have known that, but I did not. And now that I know that his voice is heard in the scriptures, you know, I spend more time in them. And before I get to the scriptures, let me just, I skipped a page here because I have the attention span of a squirrel and my computer did something and that's it for me, right? Like, oh, look, squirrel. I'm back now. So which is God's voice versus mine? So let's go here for a minute. How do I know when it's God speaking and not me speaking? Well, here's my experience. First, the voice is usually much stricter than mine. He calls me to do things that challenge me, that probably are not convenient. He's not quite as lenient with me as I am. He's loving, very loving, but he's also going to call me out on the carpet, and he's also going to call me to go out beyond my comfort zone, to challenge me to do the harder thing, the road that's a little less easy to walk. It's not likely to be the first choice. If I was going to pick between A, B, or C, I would probably be looking at A, easy, comfortable, fun, within the zone of comfort. But God is going to call me to C or even D, all of the above. So that's a really good sign to be looking for. Like, what do I feel my options are? Which one would I choose? Now let me be honest with myself. And which one do I feel I'm being called to? It's usually the bigger sacrifice or the bigger compromise. It is, like I said, the harder road out of your comfort zone. But here's the really important thing to understand. It's the one that brings you peace. The problem now is to discern between lack of peace and discomfort. It's not always going to make you feel easy. Sometimes it's going to be very unnerving. Like, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I have the skills or the knowledge. But when we pray and we say, Lord, which one are you calling me to? If it's the harder one, there's still a sense of peace in it. Like, you know, at your core, you can do it. You just need God to do it with you. And that's another good example of how you know it's God's voice and what he's calling you to, is because sometimes, most of the time, as St. Paul talks about, it's not going to be of our own fruition. It's not going to be of our own devices. It's going to require God's grace to accomplish. And his grace is enough. And then you can boast in what God has done, and it's not what you have done. And again, that's all in scripture, which brings us back to scripture. I know it's really hard to differentiate this stuff, but here's when scripture becomes so important. It's God's voice. Jesus is Word made flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and that Word was Jesus. So when we spend time reading the Gospels, reading the letters, reading the Psalms, we start to hear God's voice, how he speaks. And then that language becomes our language, our inner voice. And so when we hear things, then we can, and we see them in scripture, or we remember them from scripture, or in my case, I will think something and then I'll go and open up my scriptures, and there it will be. Here's an amazing example. I usually like to share some examples from my own life because I think that shows God at work. So when I went for my mammogram and they found the enlarged lymph node, and I started to go into panic mode because my worst fears felt like they were about to be realized, I went to the scriptures. And I started to pray and came to my mind, do not let your heart be troubled. And then I said, you know, Lord, you know, show me in your word where I can find comfort. And I was led to John 14, and it starts with, let not your heart be troubled. And actually he says it again in there a little further along, Jesus says it again, do not let your heart be troubled. So he says it in there twice. And usually I take about three times to hear something. And then I go, oh, I think God has a message for me. The other line that was in there that was really funny was in John 14, was you will live. I also needed to hear that. And he had sent it to me in September of 2016 when I was dealing with some stomach issues and was worried again that something was seriously wrong. He says, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me, Jesus says. Now, we go through the rest of the month. I have the biopsy. It takes 2 weeks to get the results. Praise the Lord. It's an inflammation. It's my eczema. We got to deal with all of that now. But I go to confession. So I get the results on a Sunday. I go to confession on a Monday. My old friend, Kevin Lever, who is now Father Kevin Lever. I go to him for my first confession with him, which was amazing. And I sit down and I start, you know, into my sins. And I do confess that during that time of trial, I wasn't always feeling the trust that I felt I should have had for God. I wasn't feeling always that God was, that I was going to trust in whatever God had to say, that I was being kind of wavering in my trust and wavering and kind of sometimes going into the pit of despair over what it could be and not letting God be God and bring me the peace that he wants. And I hadn't told Kevin anything because, you know, he's preparing for his ordination. He was finishing up school. He was traveling. I didn't want to put this on him. I just didn't think it was necessary. So he had no idea about anything until I mentioned that in confession. And then he starts with his part of the confession of kind of going through the things I had said. And he looks at me and he says, what comes to mind is the scripture from John's gospel. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in me. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Which, of course, then I burst into tears because those moments, I call those God-sidence moments. People might call them coincidence. Other people call them God winks. For me, it's a God-sidence. It's a moment in time and life or somebody could look at it and go, that was the weirdest coincidence ever. But I know it's God breaking through into my heart, into my life, into that moment, because he's in every moment, but he's bringing himself fully there with me so I don't have to go, I wonder if God is real. No, he's real. And he was there. I just can't imagine, and I've been thinking a lot about this. I just cannot fathom that a God would make himself visible in Jesus would then decide to remain invisible in my life after Jesus had ascended. And we know that's not true because in his ascension, he says, I'm going to send you the Paraclete. I'm going to send you a counselor, the Holy Spirit, which we're all going to re-experience on Sunday, because this Sunday is Pentecost Sunday. We're going to, again, feel that outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is seeing God alive in this world. We're seeing him move because the Spirit is God, that triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that Spirit really breaks through into what we're doing, into our lives. And for me, I feel like that happens so much when I think about the signs and the wonders, the God-sidences. You know, I was sharing with my spiritual director about the whole butterfly stories where, you know, back when I adopted faith in 2009, but this started in about 2008, the Lord sent me this butterfly outside her bedroom window, kind of this, I'm going to be, because I was so worried that she wasn't going to come home. We kept getting delayed and delayed. It took 6 months from the moment we received her picture that this was going to be our new daughter until we actually had her in our hands. 6 weeks turned into 6 months. And there's a lot of moments of despair and wonder and worry in that. And the Lord sent me this beautiful butterfly outside her window. And then every day from that moment in July of 2008, all the way till November 2009, so over a year, I saw every single day, and I'm not exaggerating, every single day I saw the word butterfly. I saw an actual butterfly. Somebody would say the word butterfly. It was crazy. It'd be a picture of one. It was crazy. That's a very long time. But God just kept reminding me again and again and again, I'm with you, I'm with you, I'm with you. And then I got her and we stopped seeing them. And then there was a problem with her paperwork. And on the bus from the hotel to the consulate, with my heart in knots, wondering, worrying if we were going to be able to take her home, this little tiny butterfly went by my window in the middle of downtown Guangzhou in this big, huge bus city. It was amazing. And I was like, all right, everything's going to be fine. So fast forward, over the years, God has still continued to send me butterflies. And then, you know, during this whole month of fear and anguish, there was a butterfly outside her window in almost the same location and the same way it was back over 8 years ago and 9 years ago. And it was the first time I've seen one out her window since. There was butterflies over the ultrasound table. There was butterflies on the stationery when I went for my biopsy. And it wasn't like it was just there. It was God saying, the Holy Spirit saying, look to your right. Just look and there's going to be a butterfly. And me looking and going, oh my gosh, there's a butterfly. It wasn't me scouring the room going, there's got to be a butterfly here. It was me, you know, logging in or checking in for my appointment. And suddenly the Spirit's like, you have nothing to worry about. I'm with you. Just look. Here's that sign that I'm going to send you. But those signs, you know, you have to be careful of them too. You can't let them become, oh, that's God telling me what I want. In this case, praise the Lord, it was. You know, I wanted to be cancer free, and so far, praise God, I am. But what I got from that was that the peace. I would see that butterfly and be like, oh, God is with me, and whatever the outcome, God is here with me. He's not abandoned me. He promises that in his word. I will not abandon nor forsake you. And all of this stuff I would not know if I did not read the scriptures, if I did not spend time reading the scriptures. So let's go back to that for a minute before we move too far into signs again. But a lot of people say, well, I don't know how to read the scriptures. I don't know where to start. And a couple places to start. I love the Gospel of John. I know that it's very riddled with imagery and symbols and things that you need to know, but that's why I use a book. I use the Didache Bible from Ignatius Press because the commentaries in it are phenomenal, and they're also tied to the Catechism of the Catholic Church. There's a lot of fabulous Bibles out there. I love all of them. And if you want a list, you can send me a message over at Allison@breadboxmedia.com or info@reconciletoyou.com, or just find me on Facebook. I should probably just put together a list of Bibles that I love. I just happen to use this one the most often because I do find that the commentary helps me understand a lot. The Navarre Bible, Navarre, also has fantastic commentaries. Those are based on the writings of Saint Jose Maria Escriva, and those are fantastic as well. But you definitely want to use a Bible that's Catholic-based, that has the commentaries that are Catholic, and that help you understand the context of which they're written, and who they're written for, and what's intended. But it also it's not just about reading the Bible for the context of the faith, but it's also a personal experience with Christ. And that's okay. Like, you can read a sentence in the scriptures personally for yourself and have it mean something that maybe it doesn't normally mean, but God is speaking to you through it. You don't go out and teach that, but you do absolutely allow God to talk to you in the scriptures personally. That's allowed. And for many years, I didn't think we could do that as Catholics, but we can. Absolutely. God's word is his word, and it's a living, dynamic, breathing, amazing gift that we have from him. He is not invisible. He is very visible in his word. And that whole month of just reading and rereading John 14 over and over again, you know, let not your heart be troubled. And then there was also being reminded, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And then talk about God-cidences. that was our readings for the month. So I was given this to kind of go and read through this, the spirit kind of leading me to it. And then it becomes our readings. And then the homilies are based on it. And I just feel like I get spoiled, but I'm not the only one God wants to spoil in his word. And by showing you that he is real and that he is with you. And I mean, right down to, and then 14:8, it says, Philip said to him, Lord, show up us the Father and we shall be satisfied. And how many times have I said, Lord, you know, just, you know, take away the mystery, just show me yourself and I believe. And here he was talking to Jesus and he's asking to still see the Father. And that made me feel better, because as I saw butterflies and as I read the scriptures and as I felt that God was, and even purple roses from St. Therese after I finished a novena, all of that was still like me going, yeah, sure, that stuff is good, but show me more. And it was good to see that even one of the apostles standing right there with Jesus was like, yeah, fine, but show me more. But Jesus says back to him, no, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And you have been with me. He says to Philip, have I been with you so long and yet you do not know me, Philip? And I felt like, you know, you could just put your own name in there. Have I not been with you so long, Allison? But you don't see me? You say, show us the Father. Do you not believe that I am the Father and the Father is in me? You know, we have this historical account of Jesus alive in the world and being crucified and being dead and being risen and eating with the apostles and rising into heaven. That is the truth. That is all the evidence we need. And yet we still seek for more. And yet he's so generous. God is so generous. He does send us whatever that is that you need to see, be it cardinals or butterflies or ladybugs or a certain word that you hear. Or, you know, sometimes I'll be just driving and I'll see my relatives that have passed away in the faces of the people driving by. Like, I know it's not them. I don't think they've morphed and my great grandmother's out driving a car. It just reminds me of her and I pray for her and then I ask for her prayers. There's all these different ways that God can reveal himself to us, just to be open to them. This is how we discern his voice in the world, is by making ourselves open and available to hear it through scripture, through participation in the sacraments. Again, it's talked about being in mass and hearing the readings and the homilies. Like sometimes I feel like Father has either bugged my house or followed us in the car, like been hiding in the back of the car, because he'll speak and be like, oh my gosh, that's exactly what we were just talking about. One of the most profound moments I had was in adopting my daughter, Faith. And sitting, you know, in the pew, I remember exactly where I was, and the deacon was doing the prayer of the faithful, and he's kind of, you know, going on, and I am at that moment kind of in fear because we're supposed to go the next day and start the adoption process, and I just felt unworthy, unwilling, incapable, no money. And I said, Lord, I'm sorry to bug you, but I just need to know 100%. Are you sure this is what you're calling us to? And the minute I finished that prayer and gave my attention back to the mass, the deacon said, may all the orphans in the world find good homes. Now, I could have just ignored that and be like, well, that was a weird coincidence. But I knew it was God speaking to me. So he speaks to us again through signs and wonders, the things around us in the world. And that could be different for each. I mean, I get Fidelity Mac trucks, you know, and I also get God keeps his promises. Well, it's keeps his promises trucks. But so God sends us signs and wonders, coincidence that we know is God working. And I call those Godcidences. He uses the people in our lives, good godly friends who speak the truth to our hearts, speak for God sometimes. But again, need to be careful and discerning. Paul tells, discern these voices, discern these messages. And by discerning, that just means bringing them to prayer, waiting them out, seeing what else God has to say. I usually wait to hear things three times. That's my personality. That's my spiritual MO, but not everybody is like that. But you know, when you get to that point, because there's peace, not always easiness, But there's a, in your core, you just know this is what God has asked you to do. And there is going to be some uncomfortableness as you're getting to that, that like, you know, your equilibrium is kind of knocked off because God is changing you. He's a daily conversion of our hearts. And if we're one place and we're very comfortable and God wants to bring us to a new place, there's definitely going to be some discomfort in getting to that. There's a decision we need to make that we just know is going to be hard, and it's going to require change and work and effort. And maybe we know we need to be there, but we're not ready. So God just gently brings us there. And he does that by daily converting our hearts and giving us the strength that we need when we come to him and ask for it in prayer. We ask for that grace. And he also, you know, speaks to us in adoration, in the quiet, wherever that quiet is that we can find. He might speak to you through your spiritual director. I'm going to do a show on that coming up soon. But if you need any help with spiritual direction, give me an email, allison@breadboxmedia.com or info@reconciledtoyou, or just come to any of the social media, reconciledtoyou.com, Reconcile to You at Facebook, or Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on Facebook, or it's not hard to find me. There's going to be a link below, of course, in the podcast that you can get to me as well to ask questions, anything about discerning, book requests, book suggestions, I should say, based on any of the things that we've talked about today. I've got a few that I can share with you to help you on reading scripture and help you on discerning God's voice and just growing closer to him. All really in the end, God is asking is for us to move a little closer to him. And as St. James tells us, then he will move closer to us. And in that movement, we learn to hear his voice. We learn to discern what he's asking of us. And most importantly, we learn to love him. He already loves the dickens out of us. He couldn't love us anymore, but this helps us to feel that love, to hear him, and to know we're not abandoned. We've not been forsaken. He is constantly on. I mean, if he didn't think about us for 1 second, we would cease to exist. So thank God for that. So I appreciate you, as always, spending time with me here in this new format, these half an hour podcasts. We're going to be launching the YouTube show sometime in June, still working out some of the details. And I also, quite honestly, want to heal my hands before I start. But maybe that's the humility. Maybe God, again, see, pushing me out of my comfort zone. Maybe God's just calling me to go over there to YouTube, to Allison Gingrich channel, and get things rolling. Please keep me in your prayers and know that you are always in mine. You have been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media.
Listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.